You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
We don't know how to wait. You married the wrong person because you didn't wait. Then you run into somebody. You don't know what a person's going to be. You don't know what they're going to be. You had them right there. They were with you. And they walked away. And now you're looking at them, you're stuck, and they're still free because you didn't wait. Everybody say amen to cover for those who can't say it. Amen. That's why I don't believe we should go around telling people God put us together, because you don't know what a person's going to become. You chose that person. God is not a matchmaker sitting up in heaven with a little Cupid's arrow saying, that's the one. No, you wait. You wait until something connects. And it's not love. It's not love. But I loved you the moment I saw you. That's a lie. That is a lie. You mean you lusted after them the moment you saw them. You wanted the package. Love takes time. It takes time. It takes time. I marvel at people who get saved. They come in and they give their hearts to Jesus. I love you, Jesus. No, you don't. You don't even know him. Even Peter, who had walked with him intimately for 3 years, in John's gospel, Jesus said, do you love me? He said, I'm fond of you. He said, do you love me? Agape. Do you love me? He said, I'm fond of you. He didn't even love him. And he walked with him. You got to wait. You have to learn to wait. You have to understand, like Paul says here, that tribulation works patience. Uh-oh. That means that when you're going through something negative, it's working patience. Why? Because God does not answer immediately. How do you work with a God who looks at a day as 1,000 years? And 1,000 years as a day? How do you deal with a God who looks at your situation and says, oh, I see you completely delivered in 10 days. And you're going through it right now praying, get me out of it. Help me through it. And he does nothing because he knows you're coming out strong. Now, why don't he give us a hint? No, because he wants us to learn patience. He wants us to learn how to wait. Now, I'll show you as we go why this is so important. He says, tribulation works patience, Romans 5:3, and patience brings out experience. In other words, you don't know if you can stand until you've had to stand. And I don't know about you, but I'm just fed up with ministers who haven't been through anything. And then those who are going through, they wear it on their face so you can feel sorry for them. But then they're going to get up and try to tell you what to do, and they haven't been through anything. Until you've had to bear a cross, don't stand up and tell me how to live. Until you've had to go through something. That's like a person doing marriage counseling that never had a spouse. Somebody trying to tell you how to raise your child and never had a child. Don't hit him. Don't hit him. He's just acting out. You got any children? No, shut up. And tribulation brings that patience out of us. Tribulation helps us to understand that we're not in control. Now, I got to share this with you because it's something the Spirit put in my heart this week. We actually think that we're in control of our lives. Oh, I wish I had time. I wish I had time. You have to change your view of God. God runs things, and he wants you to know he runs things. And when you forget that he's running things, he lets stuff come in your life that you can't handle. So you have to turn to him, not to get you out of it, but to help you through it. Because according to scripture, God is hunting glory. Lord, Lord, Lord. Amen. The devil does not want you to give God his glory. He wants you to think that you are doing this stuff, that you're doing it by your own hand. The Apostle Paul writes to the church at Corinth when he reminds them. He says, what do you have that you did not receive? And if you received it, why are you boasting? It was the Lord that gave you that job. It was the Lord that gave you that house. It was the Lord that gave you those trials. And then it was the Lord that gave you victory. It was the Lord that gave you that money. It was the Lord that gave you that anointing. So why are you charging people for it? Wait, wait. Patience works experience. And experience gives you hope. Yep, because you realize the longer you're in it, and you understand that if God, see, if you have experience that God has brought you out of something, how many of you in here today, God has brought you out of something in the past? Okay, so you have experience. Watch this. You have experience. So let's say you run into something 3 weeks from now. What does your experience give you? Because he did it before. So I know he's going to do it again. Those without experience live in Oz. But when you have experience, you say, all right, I know I'm going to get some breaks, and I know I'm going to fall, and I know bad stuff is going to happen, but I know God is going to bring me out of it. And if he lets me stay in, sometimes God wants a 3-minute egg, sometimes God wants a soft-boiled egg, and sometimes he wants a hard-boiled egg. And that determines how long you're going through your test. It's determined by what material God wants while you're in there. If God wants you to be able to raise the dead, then you're going through that trial a little longer. If God just wants you to quote some scripture, you only might go through a couple days. But either way, when you come out, you're going to have something that he needs. But he's got to get it out. Daniel 7 tells us that the Antichrist, the spirit of Antichrist, is designed to wear us out. And a lot of us are tired. You're tired today. And I'm not just talking about from Christmas. You're tired in your soul. You're tired of the warfare. You're tired of dealing with devils. You're tired of backsliding preachers. You're tired of false prophets. You're tired of this whole process. But I'm telling you, like Paul told the church, don't be weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you don't give up. Tell your neighbor, don't give up. I know it looks rough right now. I know we got 2 more years of who's in the White House. But don't give up. There's a day coming. There's another election day coming. There's another move of God about to take place. Don't give up. Come on, tap that person. Don't give up. Hallelujah. I feel God. If it's something good, it's worth waiting for. If it's something good, it's worth waiting for. Hallelujah. Everything is quick. Quick grits. Kraft macaroni and cheese. There ain't no cheese. Too lazy to make it Francis's way. So you just throw some elbow macaroni in a pot and throw that old oily base stuff on it. Quick grits, because you don't have time to wait and let them simmer. Everything's quick. Eggs in a carton. Sam Hill. Everything's quick. Now they even have butter that's already soft. Don't want to wait for anything anymore. How do you think that translates into your spiritual life? Understand, You do not separate your natural responses from your spiritual responses. If you are impatient in the natural, you will be impatient in the spiritual. What you are out of church is what you are when you are in church. You can't keep up the facade forever. Eventually, that person gonna come out. And God will let people come in your life to bring the bear out of you. We don't like that person in us. All of us have an incredible Hulk down on the inside. And God has somebody to upset you to bring that rascal to the surface. Hear you singing all this good praise music, and there's a lion inside of you. Tribulation works patience. Patience works experience. And experience brings you hope. And hope causes you not to be ashamed. You know what that means? That means while you're going through, because you know God is going to bring you out, you are not ashamed about what you're going through. You lost your job. You afraid to say it because people are going to say, I thought you had faith. Yeah, I got faith. I got faith that's still sustaining me while I'm between blessings. Why? Because I am not ashamed. I know that God's going to bring me out. I know that God is going to fix this situation. He is waiting. Hallelujah. God is causing me to wait until my understanding changes, so I don't look for the thing to be solved the way I want it solved. But I will accept how he wishes to solve it. He just may take the person that's causing me aggravation and put them in a position above me. And that's how he's going to solve it. What a amen's died. You praying and asking God, that's why I'm going to teach on prayer. You're praying and asking God to move this person, and he promotes them above you. God said, David, you're going to be my king. David, you know, David is anointed by the prophet Samuel, and he's going to be the king. And God says, now I got to put you through on-the-job training. Did he send David with Samuel? No, he put him with Saul. He put him with his enemy. Samuel would have loved him and trained him in the things of God. Samuel would have taught him how to pray. Samuel would have taught him how to speak for God. Samuel would have taught him how to hear from God. But none of those things is what God wanted. God wanted him to be with Saul, who tried to kill him. Not once or twice, but over 21 times. See, on your way to the throne that you covet, God's got a Saul to bring the Saul out of you. God has somebody that he is placing in your life to help you see what you're made of. Amen. And we don't like that because our Western concept of Christianity is that everything's going to be smooth and God is just going to give me everything I want. And, you can just listen to the saints and listen to the stuff that's coming off of television. You don't hear sermons about going through, about carrying a cross, about hurting, about not getting answers that you desire. Everything that's coming across the airwaves, and not everything, but that's just a euphemism. Most of the things that we're hearing have painted this picture of God that, number one, he's beholden to you so you can tell him what to do. Number two, listen, don't go through. If you're going through bad times, you've done something wrong. But the Bible doesn't prove that. The whole purpose of the book of Job is that it's telling us this principle. You don't have to do anything wrong for bad stuff to happen. Amen. Amen. You ever find yourself watching a movie or a sporting event and yelling at the television? Get out of that room, girl! Get out of that room! He coming through the door. Why are you opening the door? The movie was made in 1947. Run! Run! Why do you do that? we become what we behold. And so God needs to purge that out of us. How does he do it? Through causing, by making us wait. By teaching us that what we see is not permanent. It all changes. You ever find you like a particular actor? Most of you in here that saw Denzel in Training Day, you hated that movie. You probably don't even want to see it anymore because it destroyed the image of your hero. Oh, I can't believe he, oh, did you hear how he talked? Did you hear what he said? Oh my God, I can't believe he, oh my goodness. See, you built these images and you built an image of God that's not right. And you've drawn these conclusions because you haven't been taught how to wait. God is a God who will let you hit bottom before he brings you to the top. Because if there's one thing about God, he knows how to wait. And every one of us are proof of that. He waited for us to come to him. He could have killed us when we were in our sins, but he said, no, I'm going to wait. He waited through your liquor days, through your crack cocaine days, through your marijuana days, through your philandering days. He waited through your lustful days, through your days of idolatry. He waited through your criminal days. He waited and waited and waited. He waited while you poisoned your body. He waited while you ripped apart relationships. And he said, one day they're coming to me. So he waited. And every time the devil said, let me kill him, he said, no. No, I'm waiting for them to come. And so I'm asking you today, you can't wait on him. You can't wait on him. The reason why so many of us are in economic trouble is because we can't wait. The worst thing that could have happened to us was credit cards. Our parents had on-time buying. $5 down, $5 a week. They didn't have the goods, but they also didn't have a bill. When Bank America first made that first Bank America card, and we were the recipients of it, we lost control. And many of you in here right now, the average American has over $6,000 to $10,000 in credit card debt. That's average. And some of them are children of God. Because you don't want to wait until you have the money. And that's why your life is the way it is, because you can't wait. I got to have it right now. Anything that's right now is an idol. Because idols give you what you want right away. But they that wait... I want you to hear the word of the Lord. In Psalm 103, verses 1 through 5, he writes these words. I'm going to read it again out the Living Bible. I will bless the holy name of God with all my heart. Yes, I will bless the Lord and not forget the glorious things he does for me. He forgives all my sins. He heals me. He ransoms me from hell. He surrounds me with loving kindness and tender mercies. He fills my life with good things. My youth is renewed like the eagles. I will bless the Lord. Notice the contrast. Those who are impatient, they don't bless the Lord. They complain. I don't have this, I don't have that, you know, and it's nothing like hearing a Christian complain. I don't have this, but glory to God. No, but the heart isn't in it. I will bless the Lord, and I will not forget the glorious things that he does for me. Our world is a mess, and it's getting worse. Every week, somebody's being killed. Every week, some great crime is happening. Every week, we are seeing the inability of our elected officials to govern. I'm so glad when Jesus comes back. Grown men and women acting like children. Well, since you won't give me what I want, I'm just going to shut everything down. Grown men and women. I say, come quickly, Lord Jesus. The wicked are getting bolder. And God is telling us, wait. You want him to show up right now and deal with this stuff. He says, wait. Why? I have people I need to save. I have people that are yet to come in. But the moment the last person comes in, I'm taking my church out of here. And you'll see that it was worthwhile. And then the people in the world will have exactly what they wanted. A world without Christians. Because they don't understand that the only reason why God is still moving like he is because of us. Now, I don't want you to get arrogant, but I do want you to feel good about this. Because you're a Christian and God is blessing you, and the blessings that are on you go off to other people. I want you to know that when a child of God gets on an airplane, God watches over that airplane because his child is on that airplane. Now, I don't want you to be arrogant about it, but I do want you to feel good about the fact that because I'm on that airplane, God is watching over that airplane. Because I'm on that subway, because I'm in this store, God is watching out for this particular place. The angel of the Lord is encamped round about us, and that care extends to those who are not saved. That's why Paul said the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the believing wife. So if you are a believing wife and you have an unbelieving husband, I want you to know that your anointing rubs off on your unbelieving husband, and God watch over your unbelieving husband because of you. That's why we learn to wait on God, because he's in control. He has everything under control. Nothing happens without his knowledge, and nothing happens without his permission. And so you and I should rejoice because we know God is in control.
We pray that you were blessed and encouraged by the message you heard today. To order today's message, call 215-885-2585. When ordering, refer to the program title, The Power of Waiting, or the program number 12518A. If you'd like to view the Climbing Higher daily telecast, tune in to WBPH-TV on Comcast Cable Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. Please check your local cable listings for the channel number in your region. To stream Bethel Sunday services live, visit BethelDeliverance.org or download the Bethel Deliverance app on iTunes or Google Play. We stream live on Sundays beginning at 8:15 a.m. and 12 p.m. You're also invited to join us in person by attending any of our Sunday services taking place at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 p.m. at our main sanctuary located at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue in Wincote, PA. For more information about Bishop Lambert and Bethel Deliverance International Church, follow us on social media through Facebook and Instagram, or contact us at 215-885-2585. Thank you for tuning in today. Keep climbing higher in the Word of God.
The Sisters Pursuing Adonai Women's Ministry of Bethel Deliverance International Church invites all women to join them for a Journey with the King Women's Service on Friday, February 15th at 7 o'clock p.m. Come out for an intimate time of worship and hear an impactful message from Bethel's women's pastor, Crystal Mance. Don't miss this special gathering that is designed to equip and prepare you for your life's journey with the King. It's taking place Friday, February 15th at 7 o'clock p.m. at Bethel Deliverance International Church, located at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue in Wincote, Pennsylvania. Call 215-885-2585 for more information or visit BethelDeliverance.org.